It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 22nd day of February 2022. That's right, 2-22-22. Earlier today, about a little less than 3 hours ago, it was 2-22-22 on 2-22-22. That doesn't just happen every day, no. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And, oh golly, have we got some stuff to deal with. Much in the way of Titanic right-wing intellect to consider. But, of course, every program at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. That means that thanks go out for this program to our 22nd day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Colin. Thank you, Colin, and thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of the greater San Diego area. Thanks as well to each and every one of you who keep this this effort going. Thank you so very much. You're why progressive, independent, liberal broadcasting continues to exist, at least in this format. What that means is that we've got a fundraising goal of some $570. $570 to stay even with, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the last 5 days of February. I guess we could just do the whole regular, just do everything for the end of the month and be done, but that's where we are. We got $570 to raise and bills to pay to get us to out the end of February and bid February a fond farewell and welcome March in like a lamb or a lion or, I don't know, perhaps a koala or maybe a pangolin or maybe a goldfish. Who knows? Climate change, right? Let's just get started in a more typical fashion. Subject line, raw twos. Yes, Joey writes, it is 2-22-22, so happy 2-22 to you. Oh, no. Here comes Junior.
Yes, by all means, happy 2-22-22 to all of you, our new and to our new friend Joey 2, the kangaroo.
And speaking of Joey 2, here are her thoughts.
On this day in 2009, Heath Ledger posthumously wins the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in his performance as the Joker in The Dark Knight. As well as one of our favorite Australian sons would have been 60 today, as we would like to wish a posthumous happy birthday to the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin. Happy birthday, Steve. Hope you two are enjoying a wonderful afterlife in Animal House Heaven, maybe with a kangaroo or two.
Good job, Joey, too. Speaking of animals, great work down in Brunswick, Georgia today, as a jury in Georgia unanimously found defendants Travis McMichael, his father Greg McMichael, and their neighbor, Roddy Bryan, guilty on all counts in a federal hate crimes trial. George McMichael sent in a text that all that word do is fuck everything up.
Well, Greg McMichael, hope you, Roddy, and that inbred-looking bigot son of yours enjoyed that jail you were recently spending time in during your trial in the courthouse where your trial was held, because those structures were built by African-American slaves. Furthermore, how many of the luxuries that you and all of your bigot goober goons enjoy as free men were also built by African Americans? Hell, blacks built the South, and the only people fucking everything up are the stupid white Southern politicians who won't accept programs like the expansion of Medicaid, won't wear masks, and get vaccinated. With that in mind, it was on this day 1 year ago, according to Johns Hopkins, the United States hit the 500,000 mark in deaths from COVID.
Good job, Jeffrey. And I think tomorrow will also be the second anniversary of the lynching of Ahmaud Arbery. Also, on this day in 2016, the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, voted 7-4 to pass a new law allowing transgender people to choose public bathrooms that corresponded to their gender identity. Good job, Charlotte.
On this day 2 years ago in 2020, most of us in the Horn community were very excited because Bernie Sanders scored a resounding win in Nevada's presidential caucuses, giving him the status as the number one frontrunner for the Democrats, and then came South Carolina.
Yes, Jeffrey, we've spoken so far of Georgia and North Carolina. Now let's talk about South Carolina, but not the Democratic primary.
On this day in 1972, Richard T. Poor was appointed to head the Aiken County Department of Public Welfare in Aiken County, South Carolina. The news headline read, Poor to Head Welfare Agency. Poor had already worked at the county level in Anderson County, South Carolina, for quite a few years when he assumed this position as head of Aiken County's agency.
Good job, Daddy. And thanks for being the bigger giraffe and not rehashing how poor Bernie got Clyburned by the corporatist House of Representatives on the 6th District in South Carolina.
Junior, go play with your baby sister, the kangaroo.
In yesterday's journal, we discussed Sandy Hook, and this next story is born of a similar tragedy. Nearly three decades after her son, Cassin, was killed in a drive-by shooting in Denver just days before Christmas in 1995, Charlotta Evans decided to join a program by the name of Raw Tools, which was founded by a Colorado Springs church. Raw Tools and its members, such as Charlotta, literally take guns off the streets and beat and melt them down back to raw material status, eventually turning them into garden tools. Raw Tools, which draws inspiration from the Bible verse, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks," has managed to remove over 1,000 guns from the streets. Ironically, Raw Tools' inspiration evolved shortly after the December 14th, 2012, Sandy Hook shooting.
Oh, and today is George Washington's birthday, and as we all know, George Washington and his troops were vaccinated. Ironically, George Washington died on December 14th as well, just like those children at Sandy Hook. Washington died in 1799, just 17 days short of the 19th century.
And I'll add, editorially, a relatively young man yet, he might have survived had it not been for doctors. He was essentially bled to death. So, this has been Joey's Journal for 2/22/22, a Titanic Tuesday indeed, with Giraffrey craning his neck. Oh, my God. To help look out for the Ukrainian people at the Russian border, a $10 Ukraine 2 challenge is on the table. That could, that would get us down to $500 if it's met. That would get us down to $550 to go in trying to keep this program funded. Hopefully someone will respond to that fairly quickly. Billable Rick, Robin, stop telling us how the Eastern time zone already celebrated its 2:22 p.m. moment a few hours ago. The Pacific zone has yet to experience that moment, but will do so in about, 13 minutes. True, I was engaging in a little bit of Eastern Standard Time Zone, snobbery? Yeah, I guess you could say that. So, like I said, it's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and I wanted to say that this is just one of those stories that you see, and I deliberately saved it for Titanic Tuesday, just because it is such a stunningly plain example of how right-wing outrage is manipulated. Naturally, the story comes from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Anytime you see a story
online that has a banner that says Fox at the top of it, know that what you're about to write read has been desperately slanted. Now, check out this headline. Remember, again, it's because this is, I mean, this isn't any, this isn't a story of any great moment, but it is, it's a story, and it's a shining example of just how horrible what they do to manufacture outrage over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is. Okay? The headline reads as follows. Lin-Manuel Miranda promoted group which helped bail out man charged with attempted murder of mayoral candidate. Okay, so what's the backstory? Well, the backstory is that a man named Quintez Brown was arrested last week after he took a shot at the Democratic mayoral candidate for Louisville, Kentucky, named Craig Greenberg. Greenberg was in his office there in Louisville. Quintez Brown used a 9mm Glock handgun available. You can get one of those probably easier in Kentucky than you can get a wedding license. But that's not what the story is about. The story is about manufacturing white rage. Yes. Again, let's review. Full speed ahead at that iceberg now. Let's review the headline. Lin-Manuel Miranda promoted group which helped bail out man charged with attempted murder of mayoral candidate. God almighty, what a reach! And it gets worse. And this is how your relatives managed to stay in such a state of frothing dudgeon. Frothing racist dudgeon. So Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, the guy who gave us Hamilton, somewhat ahistorical, but a huge Broadway smash, had at one point in time said something good about the group that went bail for Quintez Brown. No, really. I mean, how many degrees of racist driven outrage is this? And of course, over and over and over inside the body of the story over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Quintez Brown is referred to as BLM activist. This is a shameless attempt to paint Black Lives Matter as a desperate and dangerous terrorist organization on the same level, say, as the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers or the Free Percenters or the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. Again, you can just take Boogaloo and just figure out what that spells. At one point, This is what causes the breathless coverage from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Lin-Manuel Miranda tweeted, it's just a tweet, donating and adding the Louisville Community Bail Fund to the list below. If you cannot donate, amplify volunteer. If you are heartsick over racism and injustice, let it manifest action. Work towards justice however you can manage. God keep you safe. Lin-Manuel Miranda had also promoted the Minnesota Freedom Fund, the Minnesota ACLU, George Floyd's family, in the wake, of course, of the murder of George Floyd. which was also in the wake of the murder in Louisville, Kentucky, of Breonna Taylor. And, of course, there's not a word in here about the fact that the people who murdered Breonna Taylor, the cops who murdered Breonna Taylor, continue to walk free. And then, of course, they smear another TV personality, a woman named Padma Lakshmi, so that and send a link so that people could donate to the Louisville Community Bail Fund. You know, community bail funds are not bad things, because frankly, cash bail is an old and just typically noxious tool of white supremacy that's used to keep oftentimes innocent people locked up on a pre-trial basis. In other words, keeping people imprisoned without any sort of conviction. We had the story on yesterday's program of the young woman who was jailed for 6 months by the Atlanta Police Department, a trans woman who was jailed in a men's facility where she was raped because an Atlanta cop charged her with cocaine trafficking, even though there was not a damn thing to suggest that she was had so much as a flake of cocaine on her person. Ho ho ho! We're gonna take that tranny and put her in the men's jail so they can rape some sense into her, rape her out of being all trans and stuff. Ho ho ho! Well, it's gonna cost the city of Atlanta north of $1.5 million for that one cop's sickness, and no, nothing has been done to him. Padma Lakshmi asked, if anyone has contacts for black-led Louisville-based social justice groups, please tag them here. And so now, because Quintez Brown took a shot at one of the Democratic contenders for mayor of Louisville, well, that leads the worst human being ever to come out of Colbert County, Alabama, Addison McConnell, a.k.a. Mitch, to say, this far-left Black Lives Matter activist and defund the police cheerleader walked into a Jewish Democrat's campaign headquarters and opened fire. But guess what? He's already been let out of jail. He's already been let out of jail. A left-wing bail fund partnered with Black Lives Matter Louisville to bail him out. Less than 48 hours after this activist tried to literally murder a politician, the radical left bailed their comrade out of jail. My God. I mean, I know we're supposed to be having a conniption over what's going on in Ukraine, but... yeah. How many dog whistles do you reckon Moscow Mitch can fit into one racist blurb? Because I guess Moscow Mitch isn't going to tell his mouth-breathing, grunting, toenail-clipping, tooth-picking constituents that the Constitution itself contains a statement that everyone is entitled to a reasonable bail. Except upon conviction for murder. Quintez Brown did not murder the candidate. What he did was wrong. What he did was a product of America's sick pathology of firearms. But he was entitled to bail. What was Community Bail Fund Louisville supposed to do? Leave him in there to rot? I suppose that's what Mitch McConnell would have done, and maybe this alleged journalist from over to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. That would be
That would be an alleged journalist by the name of Kyle Morris. He was put under $100,000 bail. That does not mean the community bail fund paid $100,000. They probably hired a bail bondsman and paid $10,000. So that, you know, just like, oh, I don't know, white guys who are accused of any number of crimes and get bailed out, like, say, oh, I don't know, how about the guy from yesterday's program up in Massachusetts? The guy who actually took a shield from a cop on January 6, 2021, when he was engaged in an insurrection against constitutional governance in the United States of America, and was not charged with sedition, was not charged with treason, but was charged instead with things like entering a restricted federal space. That guy beat on Capitol Police, invaded the capital of the United States of America, you know, along with people who did things like pooping on the Capitol floor and playing in it and rubbing it on the walls and whatnot, along with people who carried the Confederate battle flag through the halls of the capital of the United States, which didn't even have that happen to it during the actual Civil War. And that dude showed up, got arrested, showed up, and was immediately given $10,000 bail, for which he didn't even have to secure his own appearance.
Yeah, just sign on the dotted line, son. That'll be fine. Yeah, sure, you tried to overturn the government of the United States, but that's all right. We all make mistakes, now don't we?
Nobody had to change hands. Nobody had to call a bail bondsman on that one.
Now, if you don't show up, it's going to cost you $10,000. You understand that?
But, you know, when you're in the outrage business, what you do is you make sure that Emery and Marvelline, sitting in their matching Barca loungers down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park and Country Club, you make sure you run their blood pressure up a little bit. And, you know what, Marvelline, this Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. That's all they are, is a terrorist organization. And they use this article to slur a playwright and a TV host. For merely directing people to what does Fox News TV Radio Rwanda want to have happen here? That the Louisville Community Bail Fund gets shut down? So that somebody who doesn't have the money to pay $500 bail winds up staying in jail for a year over a goddamn traffic ticket? Is that the point? It's kind of like what we were talking about with the Vlad Putin's little TV ad the other day, yesterday. You know, the one where if you don't get up and go to vote and vote for Vlad Putin to have ultimate unlimited power in Mother Russia, that you're going to wake up some morning and have to foster care a little gay boy, a little Russian gay boy. Huh, at least it's not a trans kid. Jesus Christ, that'd be... Right. This isn't far different from that. Not at all. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco says, bail! Thank God Rittenhouse wasn't afforded bail after killing two people. Oh, wait. Never mind. Signed, Emily Letella. Never mind. And guess what? The GoFundMe for that was richly funded, north of $1 million. By the same kinds of people who want to overturn the government of the United States. the highly imperfect government of the United States, the not nearly liberal enough, the not progressively pure enough government of the United States. But it's what we, it's what we've got, and it beats the out of the alternative. God, I sound a little bandwagon-y there, don't I? But, yeah, Matt. Oh, and there's been a Kyle, a Hare Rittenhouse sighting on as to the, yeah. Oh, dear, dear, Robin, Steve in New York says, they were just acting as tourists on January 6th. Sure. Megan, meanwhile, noting, this is yet another example of white people only care about crime when people of color do it. When white people commit crime, they fawn all over him and elect him president. Truth. Truth. I saw a TikTok video earlier today from a young woman who had gone out to dinner in Vegas with her bestie, and I think they went to something called the Palazzo. I don't know Vegas that well, but I guess it's maybe a nice place to go to dinner. And in the process of merely being two women walking to or from dinner, some dude felt entitled enough to just walk along and stick his hand right up her skirt. It was Super Bowl weekend. And her video has since gone viral. But she details in horrifying detail what the guy did. How they had to raise hell to even get casino security to go after the guy. How they couldn't even raise the police because it was Super Bowl Sunday. And how they only got through to the police 3 days later, but at least casino security had finally been persuaded to go and find out who the guy was. I mean, to say I'm horrified by that is too weak a term, but I would be a complete Pollyanna if I didn't acknowledge that that's just life in America. That's just life for women in America, especially after having the guy who, rightly or wrongly, became president of the United States, say, well, you know, sometimes I just need to pop a Tic Tac because I never know when I'm going to have to kiss somebody. You can do that to him, you know. You can just walk right up and grab him by the pussy. And it nauseates me even to repeat that quote. But, you know, monkey see, monkey do. But by all means, let's be upset, or at least they're upset over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, about a guy who once tweeted the name of an organization whose purpose is to keep people out of jail when they've been charged with a crime and can't afford the bail that's been imposed upon them. You see? You see how this grift works? This con, this filth, this manifest evil that is right-wing racist propaganda. And right there at the center of it is the worst human being ever to come out of Colbert County, Alabama, Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell. Black Lives Matter, I don't have to say, is nowhere near in the same camp as, say, the Proud Boys or the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters executive staff in their fucking Aloha shirts. There is no comparison to be made between Black Lives Matter and the Oath Keepers, who were actively involved in cashing weapons with which to overturn the government of the United States on January 6th. No. But there we are, and here we are. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, eat your heart out. We just celebrated 222 on 222, and the temperature was even cooperating. It was 22. No, sometimes the numbers are, well, may the odds be ever in your favor, Brother Deacon. But like I said, there, speaking of young Herr Rittenhouse, there's been a sighting. Yeah, because he's got him a new grift, young Herr Rittenhouse does. Disgusting, but true. And I'm looking for it now. Thought I had it right at hand. Working. Maybe I've got it on a different device. Anyway, he's got a grift set up. Having something to do with him pogo sticking up onto the cross or some such. I'll let you know if I find it. Dang it. That's just... There it is. Yeah, I knew. I knew it. It had a particularly stupid bent. The story comes from The Guardian. Headline: Kyle Rittenhouse launches initiative to fight media lies. And Whoopi Goldberg. No, really. He's announced the formation of a group to fund lawsuits against reporters and Whoopi Goldberg. Me and my team have decided to launch the Media Accountability Project. His team. Proud Boys much, Kyle? As a tool to help fundraise and hold the media accountable for the lies they say and deal with them in court. This was on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda last night, speaking to Tuckio Rose. Who asked him, you'll be suing news organizations that maliciously lie about people who are in the news? Yes, sir. We're going to be holding them accountable, Tucker. Oh, he called him Tucker. I don't want to see anybody else have to deal with what I went through. So I want to hold them accountable for what they did to me because I don't want to see anybody have to go through what I went through. Imagine the level of disconnection necessary to say that after you murdered two people and maimed a third, and the fact was reported upon that he had to go through something. And right now, we're looking at quite a few politicians, celebrities, athletes. Whoopi Goldberg is on the list. She called me a murderer after I was acquitted by a jury of my peers. Okay, how about homicidalist, Kyle? Sue over that, fuckwit. Ooh, she called me a fuckwit. Yeah, how about twice, fuckwit? You homicidal little, you homicidal little white-winged punk? Who got bailed out by white-wing extremists. And And you know what? If you're charged with murder, Kyle, you can be referred to as an alleged murderer. Young Herr Rittenhouse giving some free publicity to Cenk Uygur. Don't forget about Cenk from the Young Turks. He called me a murderer before I was acquitted and continues to call me a murderer. Okay, how about killer? Can we use killer? He's a killer. He killed people. He's a killer. And, of course, David Schuster pointed out, and he's with the Young Turks now, he said, the courts have long established that calling someone a murderer is an opinion and a legal right, even after the person is found not guilty. At that point, no one can still call them a murderer, just not a, one can still call them a murderer, just not a convicted murderer. Nobody's called Rittenhouse that. He has no case. But again, the folks that watch Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, they don't care. They'll dig deep into their Social Security money and send some money to poor, poor Kyle, who has been so unfairly treated. We're going to hold everybody who's lied about me accountable, such as everybody who's lied, called me a white supremacist. They're all going to be held accountable. We're going to handle them in a courtroom. God, I can't wait till they file their suits. I guess nobody brought the big news to Young Herr Rittenhouse that Godzilla from Wasilla, you know, Caribou Barbie, Sarah Palin, lost her ass in court. And remember, we were talking about that, and the judge had said, well, I'm not going to tell the jury about this just yet, but I'm going to go ahead and dismiss this thing, but we're going to see how the jury would have ruled, too. And the jury came back and said, Sarah Palin, get the out of here, you and your stupid lawsuit. Right. And Brother Deacon Asa pointing out... Do I really need to say this? Rittenhouse Media Accountability Fund equals Steve Bannon's We Build the Wall Fund. Ding! And irony, says Steve in New York. Rittenhouse says he's going to sue news outlets who lie about people. The level of irony there is breathtaking to the point of comical. Well, here's hoping that the first suit that he files, that maybe whoever responds to it will have some teeth about them, and will hit the lawyers with some a motion for some Rule 11 sanctions for frivolous pleadings before the ink dries on the complaint. Oh, a little background on the woman who got groped at the Palazzo. The Palazzo restaurant is in the Venetian Hotel, which is a Steve Wynn property. Thank you, Ron. Wait a minute, Ron continues. Suing people in the news for spreading malicious lies, doesn't that mean that Tucker and Jesse can be sued? Gospaza Ingram as well? Sounds pretty solid to me. Oh, and by the way, note coming from Todd. I neglected to tell the family that when Rittenhouse was spotted at a local South Carolina barbecue establishment, that particular establishment is well known for a haven and hotbed of Klan activity going back to the 1950s. It's a place called Maurice's. I think I've heard of it. Some great barbecue joints in South Carolina. That's not one of them. Oh, and since we're talking about people who have been murdered. This is horrifying. It comes out of upstate New York, Paterson, New York. That's the dateline. It has to do with a young woman named Beth Howell. She was a music student, 21 years old. She was walking home from class this past Friday. She was less than 100 yards from her home. She was attending State University of New York, Potsdam, SUNY Potsdam. She had grown up in Putnam County, New York. She was a cellist. She was in the Nutcracker. And she's dead. She's dead because within 100 yards of the apartment she lived in while going to college, some dude bro just pulled up alongside her. She was walking with another student. Just pulled up alongside her and wasted her. Multiple shots. Bang, 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 bang. And there was then a manhunt. And it turns out that 31-year-old Michael Snow, after he murdered Beth Howell, just drove his car around St. Lawrence County, New York, up by the Canadian frontier. And then finally, on Saturday, a whole mob of police showed up at his home to arrest him. And then, of course, comes the obligatory statement.
A law enforcement source tells CBS2 police have not found any connection between him and the victim.
Neighbor Edna Panagroso said, "How could this happen? This is crazy. Sweet young girl, just going to school." Beth Howell is described as having dreams of working as a music teacher. And she was working on getting a post-grad job after graduation. She wasn't that far from graduation. In one of the nearby school districts as a music teacher. Well, I was curious, since there's no motive or nothing. And I found in the International Business Times by Parwinder Sandhu, "Who is Michael Snow, man arrested for fatally shooting SUNY Potsdam student Elizabeth Howell? Police find no connection." Well, look, let's just make this easy. Look up Michael Snow, Potsdam, New York, and tell me if that isn't just one seriously incel-looking... I mean, when some white dude bro just pulls up next to a woman that he has no connection to whatsoever and blows her away, I don't know, I'm not a cop or anything, but I think I would be inclined to maybe head on over to 4chan or 8chan or any of those other places where the incels hang out. And maybe see if there's maybe some incel posts from this 31-year-old dude bro. Now, SUNY Potsdam jumped right out there and said, the university doesn't have any affiliation with him or with the college. Snow has no past or present connection to SUNY Potsdam, either as a student, employee, or a graduate. Beth Howell's mama said, "The guy that they picked up for this, I don't think she even knew him. It was in an area where there's nobody around, really. She was the only one there, so it could have just been that she walked into his line of vision." Well, Michael Snow is remanded to St. Lawrence County Jail without bail. Goodness me, maybe young Kyle Rottenhouse it can sue the International Business Times for reporting that he is an accused murderer. I mean, I guess there's a lot of different motives for murder, aren't there? And sometimes no motive at all. But I can't... Yeah, I know. I know. Holy mother of neckbeard! Yeah, that's Michael Snow. Little pig eyes. I mean, it seems strange to say that that we live in a country where people just go around murdering people for the fuck of it. But I mean, come on, Brother Deacon. Does that guy have? I mean, if he had the word incel tattooed across his forehead, it wouldn't be any more of a surprise, would it? You know what? There's no mention of in the journalism about him. A wife. A girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, nothing. And then goes and just drives around up by the Canadian border. Wonder what he was doing while he was doing all that driving. No, Flavio, but that's very funny. Did you say Gaspacho Ingram? I missed something. Oh, I said Gospaza. Isn't that the language of Mother Russia that equals, you know, Frau or Mrs. or Madame, Senora? Isn't it? Gospoda and Gospodin? My Russian's not much good. Yeah, if you look closely, Brother Deacon Asa says, the wrinkles on his forehead are trying to spell help! 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 Not funny, but I kind of wonder if this story is just gonna dissolve like smoke on the wind, or if anybody will be at all curious to find out why a loner white dude just blew away a young woman 10 years his junior. If there might be some cultural connection, if there might be some underbelly subcurrent of disaffected young white guys running around murdering women. I mean, you think? Maybe? Possibly? Like I said, lots of Titanic Tuesday material today. Jenna Ryan just can't help but be in the spotlight. Remember, she got out of Camp Bryan in Texas, having been sentenced to 60 days in jail for participating in a coup to overturn constitutional governance in the United States. And she's been tweeting like mad. She said that being in prison. And remember, she said, I'm cute, I'm blonde, I'm young, I won't spend a day in jail. Well, she got 60 whole days for her participation in the coup. And on Twitter, when she wasn't retweeting crap from Traitor Todd or Nitwit Nero, watch my show in March. I'll be talking about prison torture. Oh, my God. Get her on the blower. We're going to have her on InfoWars. Prison Planet. I'll be talking about prison torture, COVID lockdowns in prison that are meted out with zero concern for humanity, zero transparency, and no accountability. It's like a third world country. Citizens are losing rights in all areas, most of all prison. Yeah. God, Jenna. Sorry, hon. But they're, yeah. She said she was denied basic necessities of life like a phone. Access to Twitter. And of course, the whole third world country thing. Oh my God. Get the hockey puck.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Jenna Ryan. I just wanted to give a statement here on Twitter.
Oh, my God, I've got that
sweater. I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm out of prison. I'm so excited to be free. I was in prison for 60 days on a misdemeanor charge of picketing and parading and basically protesting.
In the Capitol.
I was protesting for election integrity. I'm proud of the fact that I protested, and I had to serve time in prison for standing up for my rights, for my First Amendment right. According to the prosecutor in my case, according to the transcript of the sentencing, I was accused of preaching on the steps of the Capitol. I was told by the judge that I was not being sentenced to 60 days in prison for my actions of walking into the Capitol for 2 minutes, but actually because I was in the center of the media storm, and he needed to make an example of me. I just had a misdemeanor. I served 60 days in prison. I did not get beat.
Pretty sure none of that happened.
Beat up. I was in quarantine when I was in prison. I ate a lot of bologna sandwiches. I didn't lose a ton of weight.
No, not the bologna sandwiches. Not the prison bologna. Jesus, did it at least have prison cheese on it, Jenna?
I was really, really blessed because I met really great people, and
But she didn't lose a lot of weight because she had all those bologna sandwiches. That's what she said.
Prayed every day. I read the Bible. Got clean.
Yeah, I don't think any of that did any good because, well, here you are.
Close to God, watched a lot of TV, read a lot of books, and now I have a wonderful platform where...
Turner Diaries, anyone? Read a lot of books. I know. Steve in New York says, her white privilege runneth over.
I can speak to everyone about my beliefs for freedom. And that's what I'm going to talk
about. For freedom. Yeah, you know, freedom. Right up.
About. I'm going to talk about God. I'm going to talk about freedom. I'm going to talk about individual rights, and I've got a show, and it's going to be on YouTube. And
oh, yay, she's already negotiated the contract, and she says, yes, I was tortured in prison. You know, when they wouldn't give me a cell phone. Yeah, you're right, Greg. That's the good observation. Greg says, you know, Jenna sounds just like Little Miss Three Names, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball. When she talks, she does.
I'm just ready for a beautiful life and selling real estate, and I'm so glad you guys are following me. If you have any questions about what happened in federal prison for me, just ask. I have a misdemeanor charge, no probation. I can still vote. I'm not a felon.
And we know who and what you're going to vote for, Jen Jen. Not charged with the insurrection. Lee in New York says, great, chance for more charges. By all means, keep talking, Jen Jen.
You know, I can exercise my Second Amendment rights, and I'm good to go. I'm ready to sell houses, and my life is beautiful and getting better every day, and I hope everyone has a blessed evening. And that's...
Well, yes, yes. I have a feeling there's some blood pressure rising out there. Jenna, says Matt in San Francisco, I doubt she read a lot of books. Hard to read a lot of books while you're watching all that TV. Wait a minute, she had TV in prison? Prison torture. And God, the ratio on this is a thing to behold. Ron in Raleigh says she really doesn't understand. She has no concept of what prison's all about. She didn't have a phone? Well, I guess she'll become a prison abolitionist. Defund the prisons, right, Jenna? Matt's real estate. I need someone who spent time in prison to help me buy a house. Said no one ever. It is amazing to behold. The level of clueless privilege. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned the Oath Keepers and the upcoming trial of them for what they did in engaging in a seditious conspiracy, allegedly did in engaging in a seditious conspiracy to overturn the government of the United States on January 6th. Well, the six men and women who are under indictment for that were scheduled for trial, but the trial has been continued. It was a joint motion between Donovan Crowell, Sandra Parker, Benny Parker, Laura Steele, Connie Meigs, and William Isaacs. U.S. Attorney Catherine Ricozzi and six Department of Justice lawyers joined in their motion to continue the trial from the April 19th date that had been set by U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta. The court reluctantly grants the party's joint request for a continuance in view of the good cause established for a postponement. The court will set a firm trial date at the next status conference. However, counsel should be aware that the earliest the court's schedule will permit a month-long trial is, at present, November 28, 2022. All counsel shall block off November 28 through December 22, 2002, until a further discussion can be held about scheduling the upcoming status conference. In other words, you want a continuance? I'm going to fuck up your Christmas and your Thanksgiving. And apparently it has to do with the reason the DOJ joined in it was that there's just so damned many documents involved. That's how much of a paper trail is for these acts of seditious conspiracy that are alleged. That just producing them is a job. And then, of course, because we actually do live in a judicial system that at least makes a passing nod at something vaguely resembling fairness, well, the defendants have a chance to go over the documents. Although, curiously, being how the defendants are the ones who allegedly produced the documents, you'd think they might already know them. This case date is going to hold. That's what Judge Mehta said back in January, setting the date for April 19th. At some point, these cases have to go to trial. I'm prepared to try in April, and I think everybody else needs to get up to speed. Well, there really are two judicial systems in the United States, aren't there? Yeah. It's funny you talk about this tonight, says Megan. My university put out a bulletin email today warning all students that there's an unknown man wandering around campus. He grabbed one female student without her consent and has been sighted waiting around for and following other students around on campus. He's also gotten a hold of students' phone numbers and called them. Police are out looking for him. And, well, I was going to do my studying at the library, but... Megan concludes saying, stay safe out there, folks, please. Yeah. Unknown man. Right. Never mind us, Megan. You stay safe, okay? Funny how, you know, sometimes I start the program thinking it's going to go one direction and it winds up just sort of taking an entirely different shape. Well, I guess this is one of those. Oh, and I'm going to the phone in a moment. But once again, based what we talk about on the program on one day becomes reality the next day. I don't understand how it works. You know, my magic eight ball is perpetually cracked and always answers. Every time I ask the magic eight ball, all I get back is answer hazy, ask again later. So it was today that those six wild-eyed judicial right-wing maniacs from the Federalist Society, alongside with the three somewhat normal, rational human beings, said that it will take up the case of a website designer in Colorado. Oh, my God, here we go again. You know what this is going to be. Yeah, they're going to decide whether a website designer in Colorado has the First Amendment right to refuse to design and produce wedding announcements for a gay couple. I mean, we talked about exactly this yesterday. But a somewhat rational response to this would be for LGBTQQIA plus owned businesses to put up a sign that says we reserve the right to refuse service to evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians. Or we reserve the right to refuse service to straight people. But no one in the community is doing that. Because most people just want to live. But you get these cases because tax-exempt 501c3 organizations like Liberty Council are out there trolling for these cases because they are hell-bent on denying the most basic, the most fundamental civil rights to the community. Oh, by the way, a little bit of good news. We talked about how the rat out the student's amendment to the Don't Say Gay Bill in Florida had been entered. Well, it was stripped from the bill today. But what this is an attempt to eventually go after Obergefell and destroy the happy marriages of millions and millions of Americans. And you know what these six wild-eyed radicals... Okay, John, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts will probably side with the poor little minority of the court. But the other five wild-eyed white-wing radicals from the Federalist Society, they're going to do what they did last June. You know, when they said that a foster services agency, a Catholic one, that got funding from the city, had the right to tell same-sex couples to fuck off in the name of Jesus. And so the case will be argued in the next term that starts in the... in June? And, well, it looks like Brat Kavanaugh and Justice Handmaid and Slappy Thomas, who's married to a woman whose organization was directly tied to the insurrection against constitutional governance in the United States, looks like they're ready to take this up and tell all the gays and the lesbians and the bis and the transes to get back in the goddamn closet and stop thinking you got a right to have a goddamn wedding announcement. Because, see, the 303 Creative LLC, you know, I think when you name your business after your fucking area code, you lose the right to call it creative, is owned by Lori Smith, out in Littleton, Colorado. And she sued the state of Colorado. Gee, wonder why. Wonder who helped. She wanted an exemption from the Anti-Discrimination Act of the state of Colorado, which has been quite proactive in trying to protect the rights of minority communities. I mean, it's wild. Maybe I should move to Colorado. Apparently out there, insurance has to cover all trans surgeries. Breast augmentation, facial feminization, top surgery for trans guys, phalloplasty, medioidoplasty for trans guys. Oh, well, that's not going to happen. But nonetheless, the Anti-Discrimination Act in Colorado says most shops and businesses have to provide equal treatment without regard to race, religion, sex, age, disability, or sexual orientation. I don't see gender identity in that list. But Lori Smith says she's going to begin offering wedding websites. She hasn't done it yet, apparently, but she's going to begin. But she needed the exemption because she absolutely refused to build websites for no homos. As a Christian who believes that God gave me the creative gifts that are expressed through this business, I've always strived to honor Him in how I operate it. I'm always careful to avoid communicating ideas or messages or promoting events, products, services, or organizations that are inconsistent with my religious beliefs. Lawyer wrote that. And she said that preparing wedding announcements for a same-sex couple would compromise my Christian witness and tell a story about marriage that contradicts God's true story of marriage, the very story He is calling me to promote. Hearing voices, are you, Lori? Got medicine for that. Never mind the fact that we've been over this before. Could have been prayer meeting Wednesday story, but I didn't feel like saving it. Whatever it is that she's trying to palm off as God's vision of marriage pretty much isn't supported by a whole bunch of the Bible. I mean, hey, Lori, what's God's vision of a pair of teenage girls humping around on daddy after they get him all nice and liquored up? Oh, did you miss the story of Lot and his daughters there in Genesis, Lori? You 303 creative you? And the federal court in Colorado said, get the fuck out of here. The district court in Colorado said to have given her an exception, quote, would necessarily relegate LGBT consumers to an inferior market because her unique services are by definition unavailable elsewhere. It went all the way up to the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals where Ann's boy Neil used to sit. And she lost 2-1 last July. And there it is, Kristen Wagoner, General Counsel of Alliance Defending Freedom, a 501c3 grift that went out and found themselves a plaintiff in Lori Smith.
The government doesn't have the power to silence your compelled creative expression under the threat of punishment. It's shocking that the Tenth Circuit would permit Colorado to punish artists whose speech isn't in line with state-approved ideology.
See, they use this language to create the notion of persecution. Notice that no couple had gone to her saying, would you please make us our wedding announcements for my future bride and I, or my future husband and I. She put it out there at the behest, or let's use a better word, at the connivance of Alliance Defending Freedom. It's a setup. And so from now until June of 2023 or whenever it is, and thereafter, I'm sure that Lori Smith will become quite the celebrity on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or even Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Newsmuck, or Real America TV, Now Forevermore Under God, whatever the hell it is, and she will become a cause celeb of Christian persecution in the new 90 states of America. Amen. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever in the universe, under God. On the other hand, Attorney General Phil Weiser of Colorado said, The U.S. Supreme Court has consistently held that anti-discrimination laws like Colorado's apply to all businesses selling goods and services. Companies cannot turn away LGBT customers just because of who they are. We will vigorously defend Colorado's laws, which protect all Coloradans by preventing discrimination and upholding free speech. Because, of course, there's no federal law to protect any of the initials in the LGBTQQIA plus community. No federal legislation whatsoever. There's no legislation protecting one's sexuality or one's gender identity. Get married on Sunday, fired on Monday, at least under federal law. So that. Well, let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Thomas. Hey, Thomas, how are you? Sorry I made you wait, honey.
It's okay. Give me a chance to gather my thoughts and listen to you, which is always a pleasurable thing. So it wasn't done in vain, and I'm not a victim.
Yay!
And I won't sue.
Thank you.
Kyle Rittenhouse. I missed that part in the article that he formed an association to do.
Yeah, he's going to have him an organization to go out and sue Whoopi Goldberg.
And Cenk Uygur. Don't forget about Cenk.
Oh, and Cenk, yeah.
That libtard over there, you know. I talked about this today.
It's called MAP.
MAP?
Yeah, the Media Accountability Project. I think they should have called it MAD, the Media Assholery Dumbassery.
Or Douchebaggery.
Yes. Hey, let's take a minute with that word, could we, please?
Douchebaggery?
Yes. Let's don't use that anymore.
Okay.
I was talking about this earlier. I realize that it's just a word that's used as a general slur or critique.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that, like oh so many words, has its roots in misogyny.
Okay.
That there's something nasty about one of those, I guess because women use them in their hygiene. To be fair, douching is not a good idea for cis women. I mean, there was a time when Lysol used to buy ads in magazines saying douche with Lysol. You know, until women started fucking dying.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, I do that. I have to do that. It is literally part of my healing process after my surgery.
Okay, I can respect that, and I can.
I'm not directing that specifically at you.
No, I'm saying
let's be conscious of language. And be conscious of the patriarchy injects this kind of garbage into the language to make sure that women know their place.
Yes. And not only that, to give you an example further, thanks to Nicole Sandler.
Call him a prostate stimulator. How about that?
Fair enough. We won't go there. Nicole Sandler taught me on her show to say Democratic candidate.
Oh, God, yes.
The Democrat candidate.
Yeah, the Democrat Party.
The Democrat Party, yeah.
Yeah, when you do that, you're actively participating with Newton Leroy Gangrene. And his words to use to describe Democrats. Because, see, when you say the Democrat Party, you emphasize the word rat.
Yes. And I almost knee-jerk correct myself now if I accidentally say it.
That someone is a Democrat is fine.
Yes.
But they are a member of the Democratic Party.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I mean, we've got Democrats in county executive committees in West Virginia, in the legislature of the state of West Virginia, who say Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. And it makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits and drink pee pee and put onions in my socks.
I hear you. And that's why on when I'm on my show, The Nosy Liberal, I make an active effort to avoid you at all costs.
Well, don't just not use it. Educate, Thomas. Educate.
Right. And I do. And that's why I mentioned it tonight. Because I have some good news. You like some good news to
I'll take all I can get.
I don't know if you saw the tweet that I posted earlier. We, FYNation.com has an iPhone app now.
Oh, fun.
So, if you want to listen to Robin or me or, Tom Hartman or Stephanie Miller on the weekends or Tara Devlin on the weekends, all you have to do is go to the iPhone store, FYNation.com radio player app. And we have an app now, and the Android app is literally pending approval. So we will have both. It only took me 5 years to do, but God damn it, I did it.
Way to go.
So there's that. And considering I have to go to the hospital tomorrow, I'm thrilled. It's one less stressor because it was bothering me that I have been talking about it for so long. And Donald Trump had his app before I had mine. That bothers me. So, and that thing is a mess. Have you seen the report about that thing and the lawsuit we talked about?
Continue.
There's a company called Trailer or something like that out in England who literally has a logo that is exactly like the Truth Social logo, except a different color and minus a square. And I made the defense to a point that there's only so much you can do with a T when you come to your logo. As someone with the name Tom, I can relate to that. But be fucking original, right? Don't, like, go out of your way to rip somebody off. And this is looking a lot like what they did with the Truth Social app logo, where they went out of their way, and I think it's their icon for Apple, their Apple icon, where they went out of their way to steal it. And it's like, come on, really? This is what we're doing now? But this is, they've had logo problems from the very beginning. Remember the TP logo that they had? The Trump-Pence a million years ago?
Yeah.
When they first announced and how horrifying that was? They're not creative. And this woman that you were talking about, I bet you she doesn't have a creative bone in her body. You know? With the wedding, like you said, naming your company after a zip code, get real.
Area code in this case, but yeah.
Area code. It's late. But I just can't, like, and they're all victims. Like, she's a premature victim. Did you notice that? She's prematurely a victim?
Yeah. She's a preemie victim. She's an anticipatory victim.
Yes.
She's a prospective victim.
Yes. You know, and Kyle Rittenhouse, don't sue me, I have nothing, Rittenhouse, is needing to maybe become a Scientologist with his lawsuit friendliness, because they go after you the minute you start talking about them. So you get ESP'd or SP'd out of there, and they go after you and do all harmful things to you because you're a suppressive person. And they also like to play the victims. Like, they're being attacked, so they have to go and defend themselves. That's how they went against the IRS to become tax exempt. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Yes, they waged a war against the IRS and against Congress. Basically, and it was about a couple year war where they went after the garbage and any type of rumor with these people, and the IRS finally said, yeah, we can't do this anymore, it's too much. And they probably were the only entity to successfully go after the IRS and beat them because of their own dirty tricks that they pulled. Then Nixon would be proud of the Scientologists. So would probably Donald Trump away from President Putin. So there's that.
Jeez.
But so I've been meaning to ask you, how have you been?
you know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm extremely busy. I'm happier than I've ever been in my life.
I know, and I love it.
I'm also, but I'm also impatient. I want to be able to do all the other things that contribute to my authenticity. But yes. some things you just have to wait on. I have to wait a couple of years to see what the hormones are going to do and what kind of surgeries I need and things like that. And that's frustrating.
Sure.
Nobody wants more surgery, but no. I can't, you know, I badly just, I want to get all the boy off of me.
I feel you.
Don't do that.
I'm dealing with my own health stuff. I have a new cardiologist, and it's kind of weird because he's a younger guy, and I've been with my one cardiologist since I was in my preteens. So it's like getting into a new way of discussing things with them, and the trust level isn't quite there yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what you've been through with your stuff going into this now and dealing with this, because I'm what I'm going through is pale in comparison. But they're like, I'm having my mommy come with me tomorrow because I can't handle it.
Good job. Good. That's good. Mamas always want to be there.
Yes. Yes.
And you've got a good mama.
And I, frankly, I know I couldn't handle it alone. Because I'd remember in one ear out with the other what they would say to me. And it's like, I do my best, but, you know, it doesn't always work that way. And I'm trying to get off. So here's for hope, and tomorrow they will tell me that I don't have to come back in for 6 months. Because I was on a year, and they lowered it because he's new. He wanted to see, with the new medication that was kicking in, how things would work out, and I have to go back every 3 months. I'm nervous, Robin.
You have a right to be. You have a right to be. I mean, it was different. It was different for me going into my surgery because, you know, before it happened, I said, don't really care if I die on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that scares me. What I'm scared of is not getting it, or what my life would be without it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for somebody who had never had anything more complicated than a tonsillectomy, it was a real change.
I can imagine.
And so what I'm eager for now is the coming of spring, a little bit more warm weather. Of course, I think, you know, being Central Appalachia, we'll probably get a mid to late March blizzard, maybe an April blizzard. It all just depends on how things play out, but warm weather is coming. I'm healing, I'm recuperating, and perhaps by the time warm weather is here, I'll be able to get out on the trails and walk and walk and hike, maybe even run a little bit. Who knows?
That would be nice.
And sweat off some weight, tinker with my diet some, and eventually be able to get back into the gym, you know, if it's safe.
Sure.
COVID being COVID.
Well, you
and,
know,
and go to work on some parts of my body that definitely need work.
Well, like I was saying, Robin, you know, it's safe in England now. Everything's
fine. Oh, right, yeah, unless you're the Queen.
Yeah, or the Queen.
That's what I said. Oh, wait, no, that was a joke. Okay, I was a little slow.
I'm sorry, I'm a little slow. I'm waiting for the rest in peace post, because one of my friends on Facebook, I guess, accidentally saw one of those fake articles about the Queen dying, and I can only imagine what the thing is going to be like, because they have a protocol of what happens when she goes.
Oh, yeah.
And like, the... I just find the whole thing fascinating, to see how.
Oh, the great crocodile tears of Bojo the Clown will be for the ages.
Yes, yes, yeah. So there's that. But no, I want to. And for those who don't know, thank you again for agreeing to come on my show later in March. I'll talk more about it.
Happy to.
thank you for doing that, because I'm trying to gain traction with the show, and your help and Jeff Waldorf's help of Around the Nation and Tara Devlin's help is making it worth it. And I really do appreciate that.
Well, like I said, I'm happy to help, very much so.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's not unnoticed, and everything you do for the network and the help you guys bring with your listeners to my show is there. So hopefully we can get this app, because the cool thing about the app, just to digress to that for a minute, you don't have to register with anything.
Excellent.
So you just download it and you can listen. So they can listen to your show, my show, Tom Hartman's show, whatever's on when we're on and when everything's working. And lately, knock on wood, everything has been working. I couldn't log into the website earlier on my computer, but that was my own weirdo issue. I think we finally got a little bit of stabilization, and it only has taken 5 years. And I'm thankful to people like you and Brad Friedman and everybody else who's been along for the ride to make it possible. So I just wanted to share that with you, and thank you for letting me come on.
Oh, you're welcome. I think we began a good and meaningful conversation talking about how to refer to Kyle Rottenhouse.
Yes.
Megan said, well, hell, if you want to get creative, call Rottenhouse a yeast infection so women will avoid him at all costs. Hear, hear.
I think they already did, but now definitely he should have a warning label. And I think yeast infection is the best way to, the most accurate portrayal. I mean, you don't want
urinary tract infection, Kyle Rottenhouse.
Well, yikes. Now you're giving me all sorts of visuals, Robin, and they're not good.
Well, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, once said, "I'm a giver."
But I don't know what to do with this stooge. I really don't, and it bothers me to no end that he has and maintains any type of popularity in the realm of things. But he does, and there's an audience for it, and that says something about our society.
It does. Protocol When the Queen Dies, Lee in New York says, is there anyone alive who remembers it from the last time? Yeah, I mean, there's bound to be some nonagenarians who remember her daddy passing on.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name, George?
Yeah, George. I don't think that was his actual name, though.
Well, no, you get to pick a new name when you become the British monarch, and you don't even have to go to court and pay $200 to get it changed.
Right, and Elizabeth actually kept her name. There's no word on what Charles will do, and I'm wondering if he'll keep his name or change it.
Well, if Charles has half a brain in his inbred head, he will just say, no thanks, Camilla and I are... Oh, no, thank you. Camilla and I are going to go off and live on a little island somewhere and not bother anyone. Me! And you know, pass it on to the next balding dude, bro, Prince, his son. What's his name? Prince Aloysius or something? I can't keep up with him because I really, really, seriously, properly expressing the idea, could not care less about the British royal family. You know, those very well-paid welfare recipients who've lived in public housing for 1,000 years.
Fair enough. Though it is Prince William, by the way, just so we're on this same chart.
We could call him Buffalo Bill.
I'm not sure that would be keeping with royal protocol, but...
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Oh, Lord.
Reclaiming that slur, too.
Oh, boy. But
I can make your life a living hell.
I have noticed, I will say this, and I hope this comes with me at some point. I've noticed that your voice, and I'm not being, like, I hope I'm not coming across.
No, you're fine.
But your voice has come
up
more feminine.
Yes, thank you. That's the point.
And I was listening even today, and I noticed certain inflections and things of that nature, and I think it's really cool.
Well, thank you.
And
I mean, the problem is all the other dumb voices live in my head with my authentic voice, and that's what's made speech therapy such a challenge. I've got speech therapy again tomorrow, and it's because, you know, Giraffe lives in my head, Joey Jr. lives in my head, Vlad Pooty lives in my head, and now Joey has kindly handed me a little girl kangaroo from Australia. She lives in my head now.
Oh, Lord.
And you know, Emery and Marveline are in my head. Nitwit Nero lives in my head. And so trying to... You know, Richard... I've still got a Richard Nixon impression in my head. And a Ronald Reagan.
Oh.
And Moscow Mitch McConnell's in there.
Oy.
Yeah. And so so one of the things that I worked with my therapist about was trying to find the voice that is genuinely mine.
Yeah. Well, I think you're
The funny thing is, and it just sends waves, tsunamis of gender dysphoria rolling over me, but you know it's still here. It hasn't gone anywhere.
You know. And if anything, I would love to trade you for your voice. You could have my voice any day for your deep baritones. I would.
That's a baritone bass, by God. Don't cheat me.
Baritone bass. I would trade you any day you wanted.
I mean, it's kind of funny. You know, you give me an opportunity to talk about this. I'm going to talk about it. In the course of my therapy, the first thing we had to do was try to establish my range. Now, understand, I cannot carry a tune in a bucket. We've established that on this program. I mean, we've got a $570 fundraising goal, and if something doesn't happen soon, I'm going to start singing.
Oh, boy.
But even though I can't sing, apparently I have this crazy-ass range.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a few octaves. And nobody'd ever told me that. It's always just been, you know, it's been a tool that I've used on stage, behind microphones, you know, in journalism, public speaking, things like that. But so I know how to use it, but I don't necessarily know the mechanics of it. And that's what's fascinating now, is that I'm learning the mechanics of it. And I've got a little little app on my phone. I use it when I'm doing my speech therapy, and it tells me what range I'm speaking in. And we've established what range is feminine and what range is you're going to get clocked at the Rippy Mart again, Robin.
Mm.
And, of course, I don't have to explain what getting clocked means.
Mm.
It goes back to the thing at the Rippy Mart Sheets. I think it was last week when the dude bro from Pennsylvania stood there, unbelievable!
Mm-hmm.
You know, just staring holes in me. Unbelievable! You know, when the clerk called me ma'am. Unbelievable!
I've come to the conclusion that he had to pass gas.
That's letting him off a little too easy. No, he was just standing there hating the trans woman. Oh, by the way, the official full name of Prince Aloysius or whoever. William Arthur Philip Louis.
It's Louis. Yes. And I'm drinking my last soda for the night, which is... Oy.
Well, I highly recommend dihydrous monoxide.
Okay.
Need to drink... give up the soda and drink a lot of dihydrous monoxide.
Giving up the soda, Robin? You know who you're talking to, right?
Yeah, but that shit's poison. I mean, I drink some of it too. Mostly diet now. Love me some Fresca. I miss, because I can't get it here anymore, caffeine-free Coke Zero.
Well, that's heartburn. I tried doing that, and it gave me heartburn.
Caffeine-free gave you heartburn?
Caffeine-free Coke Zero gave me heartburn. Don't know why. I'm weird. I can't help it.
Well, you know, I have I have one remaining bottle of Diet Sunkist.
Ew. How do you do that?
Well, because no sugar.
Okay.
But I made the mistake of just pounding on a bottle of it one night, and hey, look, there's the caffeine on the label. Great. I was miserable, broke a sweat. Ugh.
That's never fun. But, yeah, so how do I say this without coming off a hot mess? Oh, fuck it. I really do appreciate everything you guys do for me over there.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Thomas. You're more than welcome.
And right now with this kind of freaking me out with my anxiety, as you know, very well know by my face.
Yeah, here's a thing, okay? Your anxiety, work with me here.
Okay.
How about you don't have any more caffeine for the rest of the day and before your appointment tomorrow? Caffeine is the anxiety drug of choice of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole reason I had to give up caffeine was because, well, I developed a bad problem with anxiety and panic attacks, and knocking out caffeine was a big part of it. Transitioning was the other part, but that would have to wait a couple of decades.
Sure. I'm working on it. I have cut back, not enough, but I have done better. I'll get there eventually.
Well, I mean, try and experiment. See what happens. See what happens when you take caffeine out of your diet, and see if your anxiety dials back a little bit.
Okay, I'll give it a shot this weekend. I don't want to harm anybody while I do it.
The worst thing that'll happen to you is you'll have a couple of nasty days of headaches, and that's what the ibuprofen's for.
Yeah. But, the app is up. The Android one should be there tomorrow. I have an Android phone now, so I'm waiting for my Android one to kick in.
Well, we've got one of each here. I use my day-to-day phone as an iPhone, and I just can't. I've tried so hard. I cannot fall in love with Android.
Mm.
But the stress line comes into an Android phone.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I'm trying to deal with it, but I think if they improve how
I've seen articles saying that, you know, older people like the iOS system just simply because I like it because the design is just clean.
Yes.
Whereas with Android, I have to hop around the phone like a bunny on acid. Just to get anything done.
Amen. Thank you. Exactly. And that's right there is half my anxiety. It's trying to get anything done. But I wanted to thank you again. And without sounding like I'm inebriated like that congresswoman. Did you see that story?
No, I did not.
This congresswoman Boyles, we talked about this morning. Boyles, who went all batshit crazy, or she's running for Congress, and she went all batshit crazy at a tween Valentine's Day sleepover, and her excuse was, well, I shouldn't have mixed
carrot juice and radish juice. I'll never do it again.
I shouldn't have mixed my medication with alcohol. Because I've had anxiety and I've had insomnia, and she rattled off something at the top of my head. And my whole response to that is that maybe you shouldn't be running for Congress.
Mm.
Just a thought. Maybe that should not be in your list of things to do right now.
Well, Jeremy just wrote in and said, soda for years. I drank up to 8 Coke Zeros a day or more. Then last February, I said, fuck it, I'm done, and just started drinking water with a caffeine additive. I still have that addiction, but I've had zero soda since that day last year, and it is possible.
What kind of soda? I need to know what kind of water with a caffeine additive. What kind of water?
Maybe Jeremy will write in and tell us if it's a brand name or if he's just putting a little bit of caffeine boost in it or something. It's like, because I see people chugging down those 5-hour energies and drinking monsters and
crappy.
And
those are,
I would feel like I was about to die if I consumed one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, you know, it's kind of like Wesley and the Princess Bride. You know, I'm trying to build my tolerance back up. I can, you know, I can have a few sips of a sweet iced tea. I can have a sip of a cold Coca-Cola because I happened to get one the other day out of the fountain at Swiftwater General Store. And I have to say it tasted wonderful. But I can't just slurp one up because then I'll just turn into a jangled mess.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that one. But, yeah, I definitely want to know what if you can message me that. If I don't hear it later, let me know.
Okay. Obviously.
Because that would be something that I'd want to hear about. But thank you again for coming on the show. And like I said, thank you for always being there. You've been a great friend.
I'll be happy to be there. It's not going to be video, so I don't have to get fabulous or anything. So
no, and I'm talking about being there in general.
Oh, thank you. I've got a lot of years of trying to help where I can.
Yes, and you have you and Tara and Brad and make me want to keep doing it because every time I have a little bit of doubt. I think about you guys and how much time and effort you put into it, and I can't stop because I wouldn't want to let you guys down.
Well, so thank you, Thomas. Thank you. It's so, Mio, by the way. M-I-O.
M-I-O. Mio.
A few drops of Mio added per liter, and I'm good. And I guess it's got some caffeine in it.
Does it have a taste?
No. Yeah, it's got flavors.
Okay.
I've seen Mio in the store.
Check it out. I'll do that. I don't like going into stores, as you know, but COVID trauma. I will check it out.
Well, there are a lot of people rooting for you with the soda thing out there. Our dear friend Cynthia in the Bay Area says, you know what I drink when I'm not drinking my coffee straight black? I drink water, just plain water. I put a bottle of it in the fridge, and when I get thirsty, that cold water is all I need. We refer to it as my bougie bottle. It's sunshine yellow, from a company called Cotopaxi because I caught them on sale for like $10 3 years ago. It holds a liter, and I love nothing more than to fill it with ice and pour distilled water in on top of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Mio would save me so much money because I spend about $40 a month on soda.
Woof. Yeah, I'm still grieving. I've managed to hang on to a 12 pack of Diet Grapeco since returning home on Christmas day, day after Christmas from Alabama. I dole those out to me myself as a treat. I'm fond of Werner's Zero Sugar. At the beginning of the pandemic, my Zero Sugar Orange Crush just freaking disappeared. No more caffeine free diet Mountain Dew either. I love that. I love the taste of Mountain Dew. I just can't handle all the damn caffeine or the sugar.
I can't do that.
Because I guess we're just a small enough market segment that if somebody had to go, we were it.
Yep.
I mean, talk about a tiny demographic. Trans girls who drink diet beverages that are caffeine free. Hell, it's lucky they make anything at all.
That is true. That is true. Count your blessings.
Yeah. Lee in New York said, building up tolerance like Wesley and the Princess Bride, inconceivable. Exactly. That word. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Before I go, I was not sure if I was going to be on the air tomorrow. I am going to be on the air tomorrow. So if you want to check out the show, we'll be live at 9 o'clock after a Green News Report.
Okay. What time is your appointment? What time is your appointment?
My appointment is 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
So I'm going to do everything I can to avoid thinking about it until then. And short of getting plastered or anything stupid. And going from there.
Sounds like a fine idea. You just reminded me of something. It is Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes, it is, my dear.
So that means that, by Jove, we have Yeah, the Green News Report.
Yes, we do. But I will let you go. And thank you again, Robin. And like I said, if you need to, if anybody wants to search for the app, both of them should be in the stores tomorrow. I know the Apple store already has it. So there's that. And the best way to listen to you if you're on the go now, Robin, might be through the app. Just saying.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. You have a great – listen, if I don't talk to you before then, just – breathe, breathe, and letting go now, letting go now, letting everything go. And just lay off the caffeine for the next 12, 14, 16 hours, and you won't all be, maybe you won't be all anxiety-ridden by 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. I won't have any morning soda, so that one's already scratched off the list. But we'll see about that one. We'll try.
All right. You take care, Thomas.
All right, bye, Robin. Have a great night.
See ya. Bye now. That's Thomas from FYI.com. He's been one of the outlets where this program runs for a whole bunch of years now. But lo and behold, we are 15 minutes past the halfway mark of the program. And yeah, still at $570 to go with a $10 challenge courtesy of Joey and Giraffe and Junior and...
Joey, tell you the kangaroo.
So we'll take a little break, see what Brad and Desi have on tap. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, feel free to jump right in. 844-843-4676. That's the stress line, 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, Skype, anywhere on this little planet. And, well, I guess the multi-limbed amorphous aliens from Norblap 9 are welcome to chime in, too. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. And... we'll be talking before you know it.
It's Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022.
Scientists predict the changing climate could mean more extreme conditions. Now it's raising attention to how the weather will impact our economy.
Weather disasters impacted 1 in 10 homes in the U.S. last year. Biden Interior Department halts new oil and gas leases in legal fight over costs to climate. Plus,
there are homes of countless natural and cultural wonders that... it should be conserved for all to enjoy, today, tomorrow, for generations to come.
President Biden unveils historic $1 billion in funding for Great Lakes cleanup.
All of those historic stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
These are not only investments we're making the Great Lakes. We're rebuilding America. We're going to invest in America and build a better America than we found.
Well, that shouldn't be hard. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, we're trying to rebuild a better America, but it is going to be costly at this rate, unfortunately.
Yes, yes, it will. And that's because extreme weather disasters are extremely expensive. Extreme weather disasters affected 1 in every 10 homes in the U.S. last year and caused nearly $57 billion in property damage in a single year. That's according to a new report by property analytics firm CoreLogic. They found that in 2021 alone, 13 major disasters from hurricanes to tornadoes, wildfires, and winter storms impacted 15 million homes. And more than 40% of Americans live in a county that was struck by a climate-related disaster in the last year.
Well, we could do something about that, but... then the oil and gas companies wouldn't get all of that free money.
Repeat extreme weather disasters are also raising the cost of homeowners insurance. The findings drive home the devastating toll of disasters that are becoming more common and more costly because of climate change. A different study has, for the first time, identified how changes in rainfall patterns induced by global warming dampen economic growth.
I see what you did there. Dampen economic growth. Very good.
A known consequence consequence of man-made global warming has been the observed increase in extreme rainfall events worldwide. Researchers publishing in the journal Nature found that precipitation shocks, both deluges and droughts, significantly reduced productivity across multiple sectors and industries, from transportation to agriculture and service industries, and that in turn created a drag on an entire region's economic growth. They warn that current economic models probably don't realistically capture future costs associated specifically with climate change rainfall and likely underestimate costs that climate change will impose on human society.
Climate change rainfall, kind of like those 10 inches of rain that they received in Rio, Brazil in 3 hours last week?
Exactly.
Oh.
In other news, the Biden Interior Department will indefinitely pause all federal oil and gas leases and permits in the wake of a Trump-appointed judge's ruling that blocked the federal government from using a key climate metric known as the social cost of carbon. The social cost of carbon is used to calculate the real costs of climate change, and it's used in a range of government decisions, from pollution regulations to permits for new oil, gas, or coal extraction.
But the Trump judge just tried to ignore that?
The Trump judge struck it down. The suit was brought by Republican state attorneys general seeking to increase fossil fuel extraction. But in an ironic twist, the consequence from the judge's ruling blocking that metric, at least initially, is that the administration will freeze all decisions about new federal oil and gas drilling and halt oil and gas lease sales and new permits on public lands indefinitely. Finally,
it's going to allow the most significant restoration of the Great Lakes in the history of the Great Lakes.
President Biden was in Lorain, Ohio late last week to unveil $1 billion in funding from the infrastructure law that will go toward cleanup and restoration of the Great Lakes. The bulk of the funding is targeted to restoring 25 sites across six Great Lakes states that the Environmental Protection Agency 30 years ago designated as severely degraded areas of concern that have been damaged by decades of industrial and agricultural pollution. The unprecedented restoration funding will address water quality, harmful algae blooms, invasive species, pollution and habitat degradation, and will go to upgrading infrastructure vital for shipping, transportation, outdoor recreation, and clean drinking water. Biden noted that each cleanup project will generate jobs, and that will ripple across the state's economies.
Every dollar we spend cleaning up the Great Lakes generates between $3 and $4 in economic benefit. That's a fact. And it's a really good investment. We're also showing that growing the economy and creating jobs can go hand in hand with protecting the environment, not decimating it, meeting the moment on climate change.
And it's all starting in Lorain?
Yep.
Sweet. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com, where we are celebrating 13 years now of the Green News Report, thanks to those of you who stopped by bradblog.com/donate. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
When I met my sweet Lorain, Lorain, Lorain,
all right, and approaching the third hour of the program for this Titanic Tuesday, the 22nd day of February. Again, lines are open if you want to jump in for some conversation. Otherwise, I'm going to deal with this.
An 11-point plan to rescue America. What Americans must do to save this country.
By U.S. Senator Rick Scott. Oh, God. Mike in Cascadia sent this thing along to me. Once again, sufficient to make one eat dirt, run rabbits, drink pee, and put onions in our socks. This is some next level nuttery. Yeah, you remember Rick Scott, senator from Florida, also known as Senator Skeletor. Rick Scott has come up with what he calls a blueprint for the GOP if they win the Senate and the House. Believe you me, this is a terrifying document. And of course, you know where I went to look first. Well, now let's. It begins with a quote from that noted thinker, Rick Scott. You might recall he was involved in the biggest case of Medicare fraud in the history of the United States. Just saying.
Americans deserve to know what we will do when given the chance to govern.
And there's a letter. Dear fellow Americans, the militant left now controls the entire federal government. Really? Cool. When did that happen? I mean, was that like in the last, 20 minutes or so? They control the news media, academia, Hollywood, and most corporate boardrooms. But they want more. They are redefining America and silencing their opponents. And yet, curiously, somehow this gets published. I don't think we're very good at that silencing thing. This thing talks about roaring inflation, which, by the way, has next to nothing to do with government spending. And that, I mean, look, this is what we were talking about at the beginning of the program. This is deliberately trying to keep people who are... Well, what did Nero say when he was running for the Republican nomination in 2016?
I love the undereducated.
This document, if we can call it that, this document actually contains a full-color photograph of the Constitution on fire. Now, once upon a time, in the era before CGI, you would have had to have photographed a picture, a copy of the Constitution actually burning. Maybe they were able to just put flames on it, but no, it looks... I don't know. You tell me. In the wake of January the 6th, 2021, which incidentally was not perpetrated by radical left-wing Democrats, but instead was perpetrated by maggots, Republicans, one of Rick Scott's own brothers in the Senate, several of them, as a matter of fact, may very well have been intimately involved in that coup against constitutional governance. To put a photograph of the Constitution being burned is jarring to me. And I know what their game is. Emery and Marvelline looking at this.
Emery, the Democrats are burning constitutions all over America.
The hour and the language. Oh my God, the language. I would just, you know, because Rick Scott did not sit around putting this together. We have to acknowledge that that's not the kind of thing he does. Instead, some aide did it for him. Which means that, of course, Rick Scott's office is a hive of anti-American, reactionary, radical, white-wing, racist Republicans.
The hour is late for America.
I'm sorry, I'm going to keep on using that voice from time to time. I'm trying to work on a speaking voice, but I'm going to keep using it.
The hour is late for America.
You know, because nothing says threat to the country quite like a deep, you know,
Luke, I am your father,
kind of voice.
The hour is late for America. Our government has created the highest debt in human history.
And then this.
Americans are afraid to speak their minds for fear of being silenced and canceled by the woke elitists.
Please, can our side get a little bit better? Just in one regard. Every time one of these assholes says woke, can we point out that the derogatory way in which they use the term is in itself racist. It's kind of like Republicans hollering George Soros all the time. It was anti-Semitic. Nobody's being silenced. Emery and Marveline go down to the local biscuit village, and they sit around talking about them BLM terrorists, and nobody comes along and makes them stop, because there aren't enough of me.
Our children are being poisoned by a false political agenda in their schools.
Well, you know what? There might actually be an iota of truth in this. Because when state legislatures and school boards all across the country actively go to war against the teaching of real live, no kidding history in the United States, then yeah, they are being poisoned by a false political agenda. And the political agenda is the GOP agenda, the Republican agenda, the anti-woke, anti-CRT agenda. Inflation is a tax placed on us by politicians who waste our money. Wasted how, Ricky? On the big old flying paperweights? On a bloated military-industrial congressional complex? Because I'm pretty sure that the people who get $3 a day in food assistance aren't exactly bankrupting America.
Our inept withdrawal from Afghanistan dishonored the sacrifices of thousands of Americans and encouraged our enemies.
Can we get a footnote on that, Ricky? Any proof of that? No, there's no proof of any of this. It's just pure 200-proof dog-whistling garbage. I'm trying to figure out, is he a poet? Does he think we should still be in Afghanistan fighting away? Tell me, Ricky Scott, because I'm pretty sure you never served in the military, Skeletor. Tell me who should be the last person to die for a mistake. John Kerry was right. And he said it so eloquently back in the 1970s. And by the way, he neglects the fact that the order to get out of Afghanistan was signed not by Joseph Robinette Biden, but by Donald J. The J stands for draft dodger, Trump.
Our porous southern border is a national crisis. Well, of course it is. If it's porous, that means it's like absorbing water or something. Everything
from Corpus Christi San Diego could be underwater soon. It's porous, God damn it.
Our cities are overrun by theft, violence, and a 30% increase in murder.
Gee, what do you think they're doing those murders with, Ricky?
Ricky.
Guns, maybe? Think they're doing it with guns?
Yeah, the murder rate shot up in Potsdam, New York.
Because some doofus 31-year-old white dude bro wasted a woman he didn't even know who she was. She was just a woman that he wanted to kill.
Our government is making us less energy independent and killing jobs.
This is so easily refuted that I can do it on the fly. It could be done by a fly. Less energy independent? What, have the Russians taken over the sun? Do the Russians control the wind? The tides?
American warfighters.
What is this, a video game?
American warfighters are being indoctrinated with left-wing woke foolishness and kicked out of the military because of the Big Brother vax mandate.
Oh, Wikipedia says Skeletor served in the Navy. Well, I'll be dipped. Thank you, Arthur. We regret the error.
Woke foolishness. It is woke foolishness
to insist, as General George Washington did, that the troops be vaccinated. God, I guess time is limited in the Senate of the United States, but wouldn't it be great if there was a senator who would stand up and refute all of this bilious horse shit? These abject, pathetic lies?
Big brother vax mandate.
Well, you know what? Your fighting force isn't very effective if everybody's walking around going, Semper Fi!
Our government is eroding our work ethic by paying people not to work.
Jesus, this is an old one. We're paying farmers not to grow crops here. Farmers just won't grow crops. I can remember hearing that as a little kid.
Oh, but there it is. We're allowing biological males to destroy women's sports.
And yet today, in a historic announcement, the U.S. women's soccer team will finally be paid the same amount of money as the men's team, as the result of a settlement of a years-long lawsuit.
But nonetheless, biological males are destroying women's sports.
All because of one, and I guess this is all the result of one swimmer, Leah Thomas, winning a few meets. By the way, she got her ass kicked a couple of times, too.
Our children are taught to hate America and divide each other by skin color.
No, they aren't. That simply isn't happening. When, say, Tennistan passes a law saying that alternative voices must be heard in an issue, and a school teacher is canned because he presented the class an essay by Ta-Nehisi Coates and a poem by an African-American woman. I apologize for not recalling her name. Yeah, he was canned, and he said, wait a minute, that was the alternative voices because all the voices are white.
The FBI is spying on concerned parents who speak out at school board meetings.
No. The FBI is doing its job for once by trying to keep those concerned parents from, you know, marching in with an AR-15 and blowing away the school board because critical race theory or potties.
Washington's economy is growing. America's economy is shrinking.
Lie. Washington is part of America, you asshole.
Lethal drugs are pouring into our country from China and our southern border.
Hey, Ricky, most of the drugs that killed all kinds of hillbillies weren't pouring in from anywhere but Big Pharma. Sorry to break your heart and everything, but that's a fact. People who were addicted to pharmaceutical opioids became addicted to heroin and fentanyl and carfentanil when the pills were taken away.
An 11-point plan to rescue America. Our kids will say...
Wait a minute, I think this is going to sound better with a better, different accent. Our kids will say the Pledge of Allegiance, salute the flag, learn that America is a great country, and choose the school that best fits them. By choose the school that best fits them, what Ricky is talking about here is taking tax dollars for public schools and giving it to religious grift institutions.
Government will never again ask American citizens to disclose their race, ethnicity, or skin color on any government forms.
This, of course, means that we simply will not count people's ethnicity. Instead, the Republicans will erase them. Just like they want to erase me. See how it works?
We are going to eliminate racial politics in America. No government policy will be based on race. People will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
Oh, please, zombie Dr. King, get up out of the dirt and go slap the shit out of Skeletor Scott. Pretty please?
We are all made in the image of God. To judge a person on the color of their epidermis is immoral.
Huh, nice to see that you've just managed to erase the agnostics, the atheists, and anybody not participating in an Abrahamic faith.
The soft on crime days of coddling criminal behavior will end. We will refund and respect the police because they, not the criminals, are the good guys.
You know, the good guys. When they blow through a door in Minneapolis and waste a guy who's asleep on a couch, or when they blow through the door in Louisville, Kentucky, and waste an EMT who's asleep in her bed.
Those are the good guys!
Or when they show up and a man is in a mental health crisis, threatening himself with a knife, and they pump 15 rounds into him and kill him.
Those are the good guys!
Jesus, why can't we have a senator in Washington, D.C. who talks like this? Minus the dirty words, of course. They have rules. You know, you say a dirty word in the Senate and they won't let you have your Senate white bean soup anymore. Emphasis on the word white. On and on and on.
We're going to finish building the wall and name it after President Donald Trump. Sorry, I can't talk. I've got something in my mouth.
Nations at borders, we should give that a try. Well, aren't you just a little bit pissy?
President Trump's plan to build a wall was right. So was the ancient Chinese dynasty that built one there. Sure worked for them.
Not really.
We will grow America's economy, starve Washington's economy, and stop socialism.
Oh, Emery and Marveline are going to love this.
Yeah, we got... Oh, Emery, we have to stop the socialism.
That's right, Marveline. I'm getting real tired of these socialist security checks coming here every month. It's un-American. We need to be going on down to the Dollar General and loading up on canned jack mackerel and just eat that for the rest of our natural-born days. We will protect the integrity of American democracy and stop left-wing efforts to rig elections. There aren't any.
Today's Democrat Party,
see, Thomas and I were talking about that. That's on purpose.
Is trying to rig elections and pack the courts because they've given up on democracy.
Everything they do is either projection or confession. They've already packed the court. They've already tried to rig elections.
They don't believe they can win based on their ideas, so they want to game the system and legalize voter fraud to stay in power.
In true Orwellian fashion, Democrats refer to their election rigging plans as voting rights. That's right. Voting rights is just an Orwellian. It's just an Orwellian notion that means that you can actually vote. Back to that word woke for a moment. Cynthia says, if you're woke, then you're aware of the plight of the powerless and oppressed people in society and you care about their welfare. If I were a God-fearing believer, I would say that being woke is Christian. The way the pigs deride the word woke tells me they don't give a goddamn about anyone but themselves and that they have no empathy for anyone. And doesn't that get to the very heart and definition of a psychopath? It feels to me like the entire Republican Party is nothing but a pile of psychopaths. Maybe if they have even a hint of true Christianity left anywhere in them, they might want to think about that. Yeah.
We will protect, defend, and promote the American family at all costs.
Well, Sally, run away. Go on now. Go on, honey. Sally, the studio stink bug came in because it's every bit of 75 degrees in here. You don't stink up the place, and I won't step on you, okay, honey?
We will protect, defend, and promote the American family at all costs. The nuclear family is crucial to civilization.
The nuclear family is a kind of a new kid on the block. Those thousands of years of longhouses that are extant in the archaeological record were not nuclear families. But wait, hold on. It is God's design for humanity, and it must be protected and celebrated. To say otherwise is to deny science, unless by science you mean history, anthropology, archaeology, biology, sociology. Physics. Chemistry.
The fanatical left seeks to devalue and redefine the traditional family as they undermine parents and attempt to replace them with government programs. We will not allow socialism to place the needs of the state ahead of the family.
And then number 9. Men are men, women are women, and unborn babies are babies. We believe in science. Men and women are biologically different, even though, well, oddly enough, you can transfuse blood from a woman into a man. You can transfuse blood, as long as the type matches, from a non-binary person into a raving transphobe like Rick Scott. And it might even save his miserable life. But, of course, we have some science to quote on it.
Male and female, he created them.
Well, okay, sugar. Let's talk about male and female, he created them. Now, in Genesis, it all starts with Adam, right?
God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
They've been barking and grunting that one for a while, haven't they? Gets real uncomfortable real quick, though, Ricky. Because if there was only Adam, what was Eve made from? Well, Eve was made from the rib of Adam. Now, this is all patriarchal bullshit, okay? Let's be clear about that. This is the entire book of Genesis is, in large part, an attempt to justify ex post facto the replacement of a matriarchal system by a patriarchal one. The replacement of a faith system that put the emphasis on the divine feminine with one that instead worshipped a violent, retributive sky god. I mean, it just is. You can find the reference to the matriarchal religion in Genesis when Adam pretty much steamrollers Sarah's matriarchy. But Adam and Eve, I guess that makes Eve the first trans woman, because she was made out of a guy. Or maybe it makes Adam the first non-binary, because Adam had the essence of male and female in him. And the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky bifurcated the female essence from the male essence and used the female essence to create Eve. Oh, like I said, this gets problematic real quick if you want to be a literalist.
Modern technology has confirmed that abortion takes a human life.
That's just a straight up lie. Science has not changed. until such time as a baby can live outside the womb, it is a dependent portion of the mother's body. Facts are facts. The earth is round, the sun is hot, there are two genders, and abortion stops a beating heart. To say otherwise is to deny science. Well, Ricky doesn't know much about science. The earth is not, in fact, round. It is somewhat oblate. The sun is, in fact, hot, but, well, that's a matter of comparison. It's not nearly as hot as, say, a white giant star is hot. I mean, our star is like, what, kind of inconsequential? To everybody but us, of course. And then, of course, there are two genders. Well, there are two genders. There's also about 14 others. And you can use the science that he claims is real to determine that. But the problem is, science has absolutely nothing, next to nothing to do with concepts of gender. Sexuality is not gender. Sex is not gender. Gender is identity. But again, this is all about erasure. They are, among other things, what Rick Scott is doing here, and I'm sure some of his constituents probably hail from South Asia, for instance, where Hindu culture had a third gender and still has a third gender called Hijra. I'm sure I'm doing a lousy job pronouncing the word. Most often noted are the two-spirited people of the indigenous folk of the plains. The principle of non-gender that can be found all over Polynesia. And the fact that in some cultures, because trans people are so rare, they were, wait for it, actually valued. Cultures were glad to have them. Just, you know, not ours. 'Cause freedom! There ain't but two genders! And I feel kind of odd with all of this because being an older woman, I can easily identify within the binary. It's all I ever felt like I was. A woman. But I will be damned if I will erase the non-binary people just because of my level of comfort in a binary. How someone else identifies has absolutely nothing to do with me. Except for the fact that as a decent human being, I am under an obligation to accept. We've talked about this. Understanding is overrated. Acceptance is the coin of the realm, and acceptance travels hand in hand with respect. But you cannot respect someone that you want to see die. And they do. They want us dead. Imagine sitting there talking about a wad of tissue as a human life, but at the same time supporting measures that would kill more actual born children. Imagine that. Can your head accommodate that level of cognitive dissonance? Because mine can't. They might as well say that women have value only as easy as easy bake ovens for some dude bros spooge. It's sickening. But at least they're having the common decency here to tell us who they are. They're not kidding.
Americans will be free to welcome God into all aspects of our lives.
Our lives, not your lives. Not their lives. I have a spirituality, but I do not have a religion. I have things that I believe, understanding how dangerous the word believe is, that are otherwise unknowable. But I know first and foremost that I have not the right to force my beliefs on anybody. And one of the most critical little pieces of garbage in this filthy screed is the idea that he puts forward that there is a scientific basis to deny a woman the right to control the workings of her own reproductive system. There is not an anti-choice argument being made in this country that is not grounded in religion. To say that I'm not aware of the existence of something is not to say that that thing does not exist, but I am not aware of the existence of any atheists who are anti-choice. Because all anti-choice arguments derive from religious dogma. And we've done a terrible job on our side of understanding and communicating this. Every time one of these barking, grunting, hooting, mostly old, pasty-faced, doughy white dudes starts grunting about the precious little fetuses, it is grounded in the aforementioned religious faith. Or, in point of fact, a misunderstanding, a profound misunderstanding of that faith. You know, next time these goons march in Washington, tell me how many women in hijabs you see. This is largely a mainline American Protestant and Roman Catholic movement. And they are hell-bent, and I choose my words wisely, on forcing the rest of us to act according to their twisted religious principles. And there is only one response to them. Not just no, but hell no. With an addendum that we will not go quietly.
The Democrat Party and their big tech allies are not merely secular. They have virtually created a new religion of wokeness that is increasingly hostile toward people of faith, particularly Christians and Jews.
Time for the Jewish community to step up. I mean, it may sound a little rough for me to say that, but it is, because every time a Jewish person sits quietly by while some God-botherer like Rick Scott starts talking about the Judeo-Christian ethic, they are co-opting that ancient religious tradition into their weird, cis-heteronormative, fascist worldview. Particularly Christians and Jews? Really? That was the First Baptist Church of Dallas that got bombed?
I don't think it's the Christian part, Ricky.
Those aren't white, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual churches being burnt to the ground, or that were burnt to the ground and get burnt to the ground in periodic paroxysms of arsonist right-wing GOP fervor. No, hell no. But again, they've had the common decency, if you can call it that, to tell us who they are. I'd seen reference to this earlier, but I really appreciate Mike and Cascadia sending this along in its full form. You know, he says, we will enact equal opportunity in education. School choice, that's a buzzword, that's a dog whistle. So no child would be sent to a failing school simply because of their zip code. No, we can give that money to a gospel sharp, and they can teach them about how Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, rode to church every Sunday on their dinosaur. Kids in public schools will say the Pledge of Allegiance, stand for the national anthem, and honor the American flag. We must foster national unity. Jesus Christ, that's right. That's right out of 1936 Germany. The Supreme Court is well settled on the fact that no child has to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and that also extends to standing for the national anthem. Wait a minute. I think I just referred to that as settled law. This is a roadmap. They're counting on those six wild-eyed Federalist Society maniacs to overturn laws, settled constitutional principles that say that the government cannot ramrod nationalistic fervor or semi-religious declarations of piety and fealty down a student's throat. We will open our schools to parents. I presume he means parents with guns. We've got a bill going through the West Virginia legislature right now that encourages people to bring guns to school, no shit. And if it's going through ours, it's going through somebody else's or 30 other somebody else's. The FBI, DOJ, and all government entities will be expressly forbidden from intimidating parents who dare speak their minds at school board meetings. Does that include saying things like, and I'm going to blow this building to kingdom come? Does that include bringing guns to school board meetings? I mean, I just want to know. Just asking questions. Teacher tenure at public schools must be eliminated because it protects inadequate teachers, not good teachers. Well, it protects the good teachers too, Ricky. But what you're out to do is do a little union busting along the way. You know, we've got a filibuster in the Senate of the United States. Maybe somebody needs to take the floor and, like I said, just take this piece of garbage apart piece by piece and refute every last word of it. We will not allow political or social indoctrination in our schools. Well, goddamn, just a minute ago you were saying you were going to ram the Pledge of Allegiance and the national anthem down their throats. Pick one, Ricky! And there it is, the fetish object of the Republican Party since God was a baby. We will close the federal Department of Education. Education is a state function. If Congress wants to spend money on education, they can cut out the middleman and send it directly to schools and parents. And it'll be America's goal to be number one in the world in math and science by 2030. Well, sugar, that ain't going to happen. Not with this plan. Goddamn liberal algebra! Point two, colorblind equality. Colorblind. Yeah. And by colorblind, he means seeing the ability to see nothing but white.
Colleges and universities that favor or discriminate against students based on race or ethnicity in the application process will be ineligible for federal funding and will lose their tax-exempt status.
So much for the HBCUs.
America will strive to provide equal opportunity for everyone, but will not guarantee equal outcomes.
Well, see, it's that equal yeah. Because, you know, it's funny how the outcome, how unequal the outcomes are, depending on if you're going to, say Yale, or, the busted knuckle community and technical college.
We simply will not give a damn what color anyone's skin is.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, I think he's got his dandruff up.
That's the colorblind future America deserves.
White America, at least. I mean, this is breathtaking.
We will enforce our laws, all of them, increase penalties for theft and violent crime.
In other words, we're going to ramp up the school-to-prison pipeline. We're going to ramp up the for-profit prison industry. Ah, God, by the time we're done, it'll be a miracle if there's anybody who ain't white who ain't in prison in America. Sieg Heil, y'all.
We will increase penalties for spousal abuse and failure to pay child support.
Yeah, you will. But you will not reenact the Violence Against Women Act.
We will eliminate no-knock warrants in any case that does not involve violent crime.
Minnesota was supposed to have already done that. Didn't do much to help Amir Locke. He just happened to be asleep on a couch. But, you know, the police was skeert. So they got him a no-knock warrant, and the judge said, sure, you can have one. Because somebody used a gun somewhere that had cop killer bullets in it. Amir Locke's name wasn't even on the warrant. Blew through the door, blew him away, blew his brains out. But Rick Scott's going to eliminate. See, there was violent crime. So that means it's okay. It's still okay, according to Rick Scott. For the cops to blow away a guy in his sleep.
Because there was some violent crime.
Nothing in there about eliminating the trans panic defense or the gay panic defense. I'm sure Rick's perfectly happy for people who have slept with trans women or had their first gay experience to murder the person they've just had sex with.
Yeah, that's cool, because, you know, they ain't nothing but boys and girls.
I can't look away from this thing. Maybe I should just close the program this evening. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but God damn it, when a sitting senator of the United States starts whistling the Horst Wessel song and putting it out there in public, Jesus. We will stop Democrat Party efforts, there it is again, to discriminate against faith-based adoption agencies. Discriminate against. We were talking about that just this evening, earlier. Those wild-eyed, radical, right-wing, white-wing maniacs from the Federalist Society on the Supreme Court said last year that it's okay for a Catholic adoption agency to say, no queers need apply. 'Cause Jeebus! Section 9 gets into gender, life, and science. Men are men, women are women, and unborn babies are babies. We believe in science. No, you don't. again, the concept of chromosomal differences wasn't even a thing until what? What were the name? Crick and whoever? In what, the 1950s? So arguing about my X chromosome is kind of a non-starter. Or my Y chromosome. Poor little stunted, stubby thing that it is. Not just mine, everybody's. The Y chromosome is just a pitiful little thing. It's about a. It's kind of like it just snuck under the wire. All government policies will favor having more babies adopted, not aborted, as long as the adoptive parents are white, straight, Christian. It's really kind of weird. I mean, this would have bothered me before I transitioned. There was a reason I spoke out so strenuously on behalf of trans people. But to see someone say that they want you dead, this feels like a threat on my life. I will have no rights. No trans person will have any rights under this. There are two genders, and to deny that is to deny that. There is abundant science that says there's more than two genders. Just because Ricky the rat hasn't read it. RICKEYRAT, Ricky Rat. Just because Ricky Rat hasn't read it, or, you know, whoever the little aide is who's picking their teeth with their toenail clippings hasn't read it, doesn't mean it isn't true. No government forms will include questions about gender identity or sexual preference. So that way we can't know how many, how many gay people have been beaten within an inch of their life. How many gay people have been crucified on barbed wire fences in Wyoming. That way we won't know how many transgender women have been stuck in prisons in Georgia on bullshit charges. No government forms will include questions about gender identity or sexual preference. Again, so does that mean we're going to take the F and the M off of my driver's license? Used to say M, now it says F. Because I did what the law requires. I jumped through that hoop. I dealt with that gatekeeping. The first physician I asked to sign the form said he wouldn't sign it until I'd gone all the way through surgery, even though my life was at risk. Every day that I went about with a driver's license, it still showed some dude named Bob and said M. I was just begging for some skinhead state trooper to drag me out of the car and beat the trans out of me. But according to Rick Scott, states won't be able to put female or male, even, on a driver's license, because that's a government form. No doctor will be allowed to perform irreversible surgical or gender-altering procedures on any minor child. Once they become adults, they can do what they wish. But not if they want to have any fucking rights, they can't. No gender-altering procedures. Well, you know, are puberty blockers gender-altering procedures? Because you know what? Ricky, when your wealthy donor's kid starts her period at 7, are you just going to look at him and say, well, that's what Jesus wants? When she's being catcalled at 8 in third grade, is that just because, there are only two genders? Oh, no, that'll be necessary medical treatment, won't it? And if one of your wealthy donors wants to slip off to, say, a civilized country and take care of that problem pregnancy, well, you know, we just won't talk about that, will you? Or maybe if one of your colleagues wants to pay for one or two or half dozen. Scott Desjardins is still in the House of Representatives, isn't he? Maybe I'm wrong. Y chromosome, Scott in San Diego says, didn't Gregor Mendel know about them? I know he made differently colored flowers using chosen pollens or something. Interestingly, one of his descendants used a similar principle to create those yellow and blue mint green storage bags. I'll be dipped. I had no idea. No, he did not know about chromosomes. Chromosomes begin with the identification of four amino acids in the 20th century. And until then, no, we didn't know squat about chromosomes. And for most of human history, you know, the word gender only enters the language in French in maybe, what, the 1700s? We impose a lot of believing on the factuality of history.
We will protect women's sports by banning biological males from competing.
Well, you're going to have to define biological and male.
Well, you know, male.
Curiously, there's nothing in there about banning biological females from competing in men's sports.
Well, I mean, if she wants to be a punter or something, I mean, I guess that's all right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know a decent heterosexual girl that'd ever want to do that, but hell, can't be that many of them. It is hugely unfair and would erase many of the gains women have made in athletics over the last 50 years. Bullshit, said the Robin, and she turned and walked away.
But none of this matters. It doesn't matter if it's accurate or scientific or factual or decent or sane or humane. This is just all the garbage that they're going to promise to the mouth-walking knuckle-breathers sitting around picking their teeth with their toenail clippings and going, mm-hmm. But Ricky Ratt has big hopes for this.
It's important to tell people what we're going to do.
But the funny thing is, he's gotten sideways of Moscow Mitch, who's trying to be quiet about what he plans. You know, so that you know, our side won't have bulletin board material. God almighty, this is some bulletin board material.
Hopefully by doing this, we'll have more of a conversation about what Republicans are going to get done. Because when we get the majority, I want to get something done. There's things that people would rather not talk about. I'm willing to say exactly what I'm going to do. I think it's fair to the voter.
Well, caveat voter. If you like voting, you better get busy. If you're kind of partial to the idea of having public schools at all, you better get busy. If you're partial to the idea of having a kid, your kid, your grandkid, your great grandkid, go to a public school that's not an indoctrination facility for fascist talking points, you best get busy. And Politico describes him as taking a big gamble.
Oh, come on.
Marco Rubio's up for re-election this year, not Skeletor Scott. This is a fundraiser. You know, on the backs of the most vulnerable, marginalized people in this country. For all the ill will that he wishes on me, I cannot let myself stoop to the level where he wallows. And so I can't wish that he'd be, you know, run over crossing the street in Washington, D.C. I can't do that. I can't wish that a hurricane comes along to Florida and blows him 1,000 miles out to sea. I can't do that. I won't do that. I can, however, hope, and it's the hope that kills. I can, however, hope that the people who are going to be affected by this will find the courage to push back, to say no, to say hell no, to make him look them in the eye when he pushes his manifest evil. I can hope that. Spent way too much on that today, but nonetheless, I think it had its value. Meanwhile, Nitwit Nero has solidly come down on one side of the whole Ukraine affair. I mean, this is who the Republican Party is. It's Donald Trump's world. They just live in it. And things haven't gotten bad enough yet that people... Donald Trump, never heard of him. No, I didn't vote for him. No, I was a Jeb Bush fan. That's what I was in 2007. But yeah. Yeah, and then I voted for somebody else, and not Hillary.
24 hours, as we know, Russia has said that they are recognizing two breakaway regions of Ukraine.
Hey, by the way, this is from the, and I'm not kidding, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
And now this White House is stating that this is an invasion. That's a strong word. What went wrong here? What has the current occupant of the Oval Office done that he could have done differently?
Well, I mean, imagine. This is the former president. I mean, not proud to say it. This is the former president of the United States who's down to showing up for a phoner on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I mean, what, wouldn't they book him on Hannity? Gosfaza Ingram? Alex Jones? Really? Clay? I don't know. Maybe they're popular. I mean, couldn't he get a spot on Joe Rogan? Well, maybe not, because for some reason or another, in the last week or so, and go figure, but at least twice... On Spotty site, in the last week, the Joe Rogan experience has disappeared. It was gone last week, Monday and Friday. The Spotty site said, "Well, you know, the first time it was because of a technical issue." Okay. Libs of TikTok on Twitter said, it appears all episodes of the Joe Rogan experience on Spotty site are now inaccessible. And then they went down again on Friday. And meanwhile, Spotty site had no comment. Anyway, back to Nitwit Nero. Showing his true America First colors.
Well, what went wrong was a rigged election, and what went wrong is a candidate that shouldn't be there and a man that has no concept of what he's doing. I went in yesterday, and there was a television screen, and I said, this is genius. Putin declares a big portion.
I went in, and there was a television screen, and I said, this is genius.
What, Edith, huh?
Of Ukraine. Putin declares it as independent. Oh, that's wonderful. So Putin is now saying it's independent, a large section of Ukraine. I said, how smart is that? And he's going to go in and be a peacekeeper. That's the strongest peace force. We could use that on our southern border. That's the strongest peace force I've ever seen. There were more army tanks
Holy
than I've ever seen. They're going to keep
sheep shit,
up.
Batman. He's just advocated that. invading Mexico. It, where, by the way, I think it was Mexico today, or maybe, maybe it was another country. That for the first time put non-binary on a birth certificate. Well, that'll be cause enough to invade.
All right. No, but think of it. Here's a guy who's very savvy. I know him very well.
Yeah, very well.
Very well. By the way, this never would have happened with us. Had I been never. In office, not
I'd have given him the whole country.
This would never have happened. But here's a guy that says, you know, I'm going to declare a big portion of Ukraine independent. He used the word independent. And we're going to go out and we're going to go in and we're going to help keep peace. You got to say that's pretty savvy. And you know what the response was from Biden? There was no response.
There was no response. The administration was sitting there waiting with enough sanctions to choke choke an elephant. But he's got to keep playing this game because he's liable to have some money problems now, especially if the oligarchs can't move money around. What if Russians can't send money to the National Rifle Association? Kind of got to take that into account, don't we? Scott in San Diego says, re-invasion. No matter what you call it, when one nation steps one inch over the line into another nation without being invited, it's an invasion. Nixon tried the bogus name game with his incursion into... It's an incursion, Henry, an incursion. Into Cambodia, same shit, different day. And keeping with our flower theme, arose by any other name. It, right. Wow. What a Titanic Tuesday this has been. And prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. Go figure. So, we'll wrap things up. Tomorrow's fundraising goal, Joey and Giraffe's challenge wasn't met. So, tomorrow's fundraising goal will go to $870. Not a good sign. But, it is what it is. So, thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Sadly, we were absent any of those this evening. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thank you kindly. I hope y'all have had a rousing conversation in there this evening. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, I'll be filling in for Malloy Thursday and Friday. Maybe Monday. Don't think so, but maybe Monday. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out. You know, now that radical leftist Democrats control all aspects of government and media, what do you say we go ahead and pass the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act, out of the House of Representatives, H.R. 2073? We can't get up there to do the work right now. We badly want to. But we can't. Because it's like by invitation only. It's, you know, because pandemic. But if you reach out and you call your member of the House of Representatives and say, please, you know, folks like AOC, people like Judy Chu, Jerry Connolly in Virginia, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. I mean, we've still got a majority. You know, if Nancy Pelosi's one is your member of the House, draw her attention to it, please. Because if she said, I want this passed, it would be passed. HR2073. In the meantime, take care of yourself. Get your vaccines, get your booster, wear your N95 or KN95 mask. Keep your social distance, like Paul from Parts Unknown says, 15 to 20 feet. Let's all live through this thing and come out the other side, wherever that other side is. And for God's sakes, if some 6'2" lummox in a, wearing a too long necktie comes towards you saying, you know, that Vladimir Putin's pretty savvy, avoid that misanthropic monster like the plague. Because he is. Later.